Fortune 500 report said that the top CEOs of the world, only 4% are female. In politics, it's a little bit higher. There are 13% women in parliament. I believe there are two factors why women in leadership is rare. I think one, women lack confidence. They lack, they don't think they're competent enough to fulfill that leadership role. The second one is society doesn't think women are competent to lead. I'll give an example. In 2003, there was a study. A woman in leadership, a businesswoman, her profile was given to a class. Half the class got her name, her profile. The other half got a man's name, but the same woman's profile. And they were supposed to rate how competent and how likable this person was. The end result was they were both competent, they were both able to do the job well, the man was more well-liked. It came across that the female had something to prove, that she had an agenda. Men in leadership are approved, women in leadership generally aren't approved. And yet over 3,000 years ago, God appointed a female to give leadership to the nation of Israel. Deborah is a judge in Israel and probably the most remarkable judge of all of them, a remarkable woman in leadership. And we can learn a lot about her life, her leadership, and how that applies to our lives today. Deborah was a woman of influence. Now, before some of you check out to say, I'm not a leader, therefore this doesn't apply to me, hang tight. I'll give you some leadership quotes. Empowering those around you to be heard and valued makes the difference between a leader who simply instructs and one who inspires. A leader is best when the people barely know he or she exists. When the work is done, the aim fulfilled, they say, we did it ourselves. That makes a good leader. A leader takes people where they want to go. A great leader takes people where they know they need to go. One more quote. The challenge to leadership is to be strong but not rude, to be kind but not weak, to be humble but not timid. Forbes gives a good definition of leadership. It's quite a lengthy definition, so I just summarized it and made it a bit shorter. But here's a explanation of what leadership is. Leadership has nothing to do with a position or title. It has nothing to do with personal attributes or management. Leadership is someone who has followers. It is the ability to empower others to get the job done. Leadership is influence. It is a process of social influence which maximizes the efforts of others toward the achievement of a goal. If you are a disciple of leadership, if you are a disciple of Jesus, you are in a position of influence. If you are a parent, you are in a position of influence. God wants to speak to us this morning about influence. Deborah displayed influence, and so do you and I in our world today display influence. Let me just pray again before we start. Father God, we come humbly before your word. We want to hear from you. Open our hearts. Speak, Lord. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 4. Judges chapter 4. I'll read a bit, I'll explain. Actually, we're going to cover Judges 4 and 5. There's too much to read, so I'll just do my best to summarize. Judges 4, we'll read verses 1 to 5. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth-Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. The period of the judges is after the death of Moses. Joshua leads the people into the land of Canaan. Joshua dies, and now the judges begin. And they are in power until the first king, King Saul. So there's a period of about 350 years, between the years of 1375 BC to 1050 BC. This is a period of the judges. Deborah was reigning about 1125, somewhere in there. The book of Judges shows the repeated cycle of Israel turning away from God and God bringing them back. They turn away from God. They follow the nations around them. They worship their idols. God brings an oppression upon them. They cry out to God for deliverance. God raises up a deliverer, a judge. And then there's a time of peace. And then they fall into idolatry and sin. And then God brings oppression. And the cycle continues. All through the book of Judges, the cycle continues. They come into the land of Canaan, but they were unable to conquer it completely. And then chapter 2 talks about the results, the consequences of not conquering it completely. They fell into sin. And then the book of Judges continues the cycle. Can you imagine Deborah, and what I read earlier about society doesn't welcome women, Deborah being called to the position of a prophetess? And a prophetess in the Bible is not common, but not unheard of. Deborah was a prophetess. We know from Exodus that Moses' sister Miriam was a prophetess. Huldah was a prophetess in the days of King Josiah. Deborah was a prophetess. Anna in the temple when Jesus was born, they brought Jesus to the temple. Anna the prophetess held Jesus. And then Philip had daughters that prophesied. Women prophetesses wasn't uncommon. Sorry, it wasn't unheard of, but it was uncommon. Deborah was a prophetess. She spoke God's word to the people. She was a mouthpiece for God. She was also a judge. Most of the judges were military leaders. They charged the battle. They led to victory to conquer the foreign nations. Deborah is more of a ruler in the sense that she's giving direction. People come to her for a dispute, and then she settles the matter. We know that from Exodus, when Moses was judging all the people's decisions, his father-in-law Jethro said, "What you're doing is not good. You can't settle disputes with all these people. Set people over thousands, over hundreds, over fifties, and let them settle disputes, let them judge, and then you only represent the big matters, and you represent God to the people." So judging has been happening since the book of Exodus. Here, Deborah is disputing matters for the people. I wonder if she had some self-doubt, if she lacked confidence, and yet God called her to this, and she was faithful in the call that God had on her life. People came to her for judgment. There is a sense that people respected her, Maybe it was her voice from God, that she was a prophetess, that she was held in high esteem, but people came to her willingly to have their disputes settled. So she was respected. We know from Judges chapter 2, verse 16, that the Lord raised up judges. The prior judges, Othniel and Ehud, it says that the Lord raised up a deliverer. It doesn't say that of Deborah, but we know that over the book of Judges, God raised up judges. This woman was placed there by God, and she fulfilled her role well. What can we learn about the life of Deborah on how to influence others? I'll summarize quickly the chapter 4 and 5. So Jabin is the king of Canaan. His commander is Sisera. And Deborah's responsibility is to call Barak to lead the army against King Jabin. Deborah says to Barak, go up on Mount Tabor. It's about 1,800 feet. Meet your troops up there, and I will bring King Jabin and Sisera to you. And I'll bring them to the Kishon River. The river Kishon would have been dry during the non-rainy seasons, maybe a bit of a trickle there, but that's where they're going to meet for battle. He had 900 chariots, and Israel had few weapons. There's indications that say they didn't have a shield or a sword. Minimal military weapons. And they're supposed to fight against 900 chariots. Barak is reluctant, but Deborah says, hasn't the Lord called you? And then he says, if you go, I'll go. And so Deborah goes with Barak to fight the battle against King Jabin and Sisera. God brings a torrential rain that causes these chariots to be immobile. The chariots can't move in the rain, in the flood, and then Barak and his army is able to conquer. And Sisera runs and flees the army. And in the text it says that Heber was a Kenite. Heber was a relative of Moses' father-in-law. So there's a bit of a connection with the Jewish people. But Heber, the Kenites, were friends with King Jabin. So Sisera flees the army and runs to Jael, who is the wife of Heber, a Kenite, thinking there's friendship between them. And she says, come on in. He says, give me some water. And if they come, tell me I'm not here. She gives him some milk. She covers him with a rug, and he falls asleep. Jael, who is the wife of Heber, the Kenite, when he's sleeping, takes a tent peg, takes a hammer, and pounds it through his head and kills him. Deborah told Barak, because you don't go without me, a woman will get the glory. She foretells the future. A woman will get the glory. And it's fulfilled that Jael gets the glory because she killed Sisera, the Canaanite commander. And then Judges 5 is Deborah and Barak's song, praising God for deliverance. What can we learn from Deborah that made her a woman of influence? The first thing we learn is that she speaks the word of God. Deborah speaks the word of God. Let's look at verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. Deborah speaks with the authority of God's word. She doesn't tell Barak, I think this is what you should do. They don't take a vote to say, here's the situation, let's vote, let's take a poll, and then the majority is what the decision will be. She speaks with authority. Has not the Lord commanded you, go. That's influence. Do you and I want influence? Speak God's word. I often see myself as not having weight in my opinion. But if I can quote so-and-so, this person said, then I feel like my voice has a little bit more weight to carry. I read a quote, or here's a pastor I watched, and this is what he said. If I quote him, then I have more authority. Deborah is quoting the word of God. That's where her authority comes from. The highest authority we can ever achieve is the word of God. Do you and I want influence? Speak God's word. She might have faced opposition. We don't know. She was a mother. She was a woman. People might have said, get back in the kitchen where you belong. But she had a job to do. She was influential, and she spoke the word of God. Even in our preaching often can be a tendency to quote so-and-so. Thus saith Tim Keller. And so on. There's a quote that says, it's not our preaching that makes the gospel work. It's the gospel that makes our lousy preaching work. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul said, preach the word. If you and I want to have influence, speak God's word. After the Humboldt Broncos tragedy, Pastor Sean Brando gave a compelling message at the memorial service. And he talks about coming upon the scene and the moments after. He received thousands of texts. People are saying, we're praying for you, be strong, we're here for you. And he said those texts were good. They were meaningful. We needed that. But he said four people sent scripture. Four people sent texts quoting scripture. And he said, we need to hear from God. In a devastating time like that, we need to hear from God. And you and I can be influential when we speak God's word. Second, the second thing we see from Deborah is she was willing. Deborah was willing. Barak shows some hesitancy. Verse 8, Barak says to her, if you go with me, I will go, but if you will not go with me, I will not go. Verse 9, and she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road in which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. I will surely go. She goes up with Barak to battle. What a woman of a willing heart to say, I will go, God, where you want me to go. In chapter 5, verses 6 and 7, we see the plight in Israel at this time. When Jabin was oppressing, it says in chapter 4, verse 3, that they were cruelly oppressed for 20 years. Israel was so afraid that they stayed indoors. The highways were bare. People weren't walking and traveling. They were too afraid of the enemy. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 5, in the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. The travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, a mother in Israel, arose. Deborah was willing to what God called her to do. The tanks didn't fear her. The cruel oppression didn't fear her. The fact that she was a mother didn't intimidate her. She was willing to go where God had called her to go. She was not a self-proclaimed prophet. She was not a self-proclaimed judge. That was what God had called her to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, we are not competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves. Our competency comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. We are not pulling up ourselves by our bootstraps and saying, I can do this, I can conquer the world. Rather, it's God, I am willing to do where you lead. influential people are willing, and Deborah was willing. God is not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. God can use even you. Deborah was willing. Third, Deborah was influential because she worked together. Deborah attributes the victory to others. She's not a one-man show or she's not a one-woman show. She clearly sees how everyone played their part and God gave the victory. We see it in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is the song of Deborah. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. Again in chapter 5, verse 9, first she praises God for the leaders. Chapter 5, verse 9, my heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offered themselves willingly among the people, bless the Lord. She recognizes that the leaders played their part, the commanders played their part, and Jael played her part. Chapter 5, let's read verses 24, 27. It's a beautiful little poem. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women most blessed. He asked for water, she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet he sank, he fell. He lay still. Between her feet he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. Beautiful poetry. Something we need to recognize, and Psalm 83 brings it out, that these are God's enemies. God brings judgment on his enemies. When they raise a fist against God, when they hate God's people, God will deal with them. And Psalm 83 mentions God's judgment, God bringing judgment to these people, and Jabin and Sisera are mentioned under God's judgment. So God is simply performing his judgment on his enemies. And that's what's happening through Jael. Deborah, again, is influential because she is willing, because she speaks God's word, and she works together. She praises God for bringing leaders to their place. She praises God for bringing commanders to their place and for Jael to do her job. We recognize also that Deborah was good at delegating. She's calling Barak to do his job. Deborah does not at all portray a look at me, watch me, I can do this, obey my commands. She very humbly delegates people to do their job. A wise, humble character quality of a leader. You don't need to do it yourself. Work together. There's a team around you. Paul recognized that very distinctly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Corinthian people are putting Apollos and Paul on a pedestal. And Paul says, we are just servants. One plants, one waters, but God makes it grow. I am just doing my part. Apollos is just doing his part. We are fellow workers. But God makes the growth. God makes it happen. But a good leader, an influential person, works together. The fourth quality we see that Deborah displayed in influential character quality was Deborah worshipped. Deborah worshipped. Let's read verses chapter 5, verses 1 to 3. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. what she's saying is very similar to what Moses and Miriam saying in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 verses 1 to 3. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And then Miriam also joins in the song in verses 20 and 21. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown into the sea. Deborah knew that the leaders did their job, that the commanders did their job, that Jael did their job. But truly, all the glory goes to God. Without God, none of this would have happened. And that's what makes her influential. How does worship influence other people? During VBS, we were encouraged as leaders to sing and do the actions because the kids are watching you. And I, in my coordination, I'm trying to do the actions while I'm singing, and a kid beside me, I glance down and he's watching me. I'm guessing had I not performed and not sung, he was watching me as well. People are watching you. Who are you worshiping? What are you worshiping? Does your voice, even Sunday morning, portray a heart of, God, I would not be here had you not done your work in my heart, had you not transformed my life and brought deliverance, salvation to me? But because of your deliverance, I am here and I can sing praises to you. If you've ever seen an 80-year-old woman tears streaming down her cheek, singing worship to her song, to her Lord, would that not be influential? Would that not impact how you worship? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It's who you worship that makes you influential. As followers of Jesus, our desire is not to follow Deborah. Our desire is to follow Jesus. Do these character qualities represent our Master, our Lord? Did Jesus speak the Word of God? Yes, he did. He was the Word of God. Was Jesus willing? Yes, he was willing to go to the cross for you and I, to pay for our salvation. Did Jesus work with others? He could have done it himself. But he chose 12 feeble Galilean men, put their foot in their mouth too many times. He chose to work with people to get his mission done. Did Jesus worship? There's instances where Jesus is praising God, but I think to a much higher degree, Jesus is the object of our worship. We worship Jesus. He is the one that we follow. He is the one that we seek to influence others because we want them also to worship Jesus. He is the one that we follow, and he is the one who is worthy of our worship. In closing, I want to give you a minute or so in the silence of your heart to ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? And what do you want me to do about it? I'll call the worship team up. I'll give you a minute in silence to just simply ask the Lord, what are you saying to me? And what do you want me to do about it?